Hey, welcome. It's the Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686, and it's time for a segment of our program we call You May Now Talk to Phil. You can call up, talk to us about some segments you've heard on our show, favorite segments you've heard on the program, some opinions proffered on this program and you'd like to give a comment on. This is a rare opportunity for you to actually check in and talk to the host of the show, Phil Henry. Those of you who may be longtime fans, new-time fans, whatever your problem is. You can call us here at 1-800-449-8686 and talk to us. You know, we got the Oscars coming up on Sunday night, and the Oscars, I don't know what those are. They represent something kind of interesting to me. I guess in my own way, I would like to be standing up there getting an Oscar. That would be fun, holding it. And I know a lot of you probably saw the cover of Entertainment Weekly and the way the Oscar is with that sword. If you just put your hand, like I said last night as we were concluding the show, just put your hand over the bottom half of Oscar's body and just look at the from the head down to the waist as he holds the sword and tell me that doesn't look like something that, you know, you would take from your kid and then slap your kid across the face if he was looking at it. So the Oscars on Sunday night, and we were talking about kind of a funny thing, movies that you just... You know the movies you want to see make it? Then there's movies that you just please don't win. I don't know how to say it. English Patient. I used to live down the street from the Rialto Theater in South Pasadena. The Rialto Theater, by the way, was the movie made famous. It was the movie house made famous in the movie The Player. It was behind that movie house that Tim Robbins murders Vincent D'Onofrio. And that Rialto Theater is actually right out on Fair Oaks in South Pass. I used to live about two blocks from there. And I remember when I was living there, this was before I got married, for like eight solid months, they were running The English Patient. Now, that's a movie I've never seen, but I didn't want it to win, and I hated it, and I hated everybody associated with it, and I wanted them all to die in an on-location explosion. Now, why would I feel that way about a movie I never saw? Well, I'll tell you why. Because I heard just enough people tell me it was really romantic and it was a load of crap. You know, in other words, it had a lot of bad word of mouth with me, with all the people that I knew and respect. Now, is it a romance movie? Did you ever see it, Craig? No. You did. What was it? See, it sucked, didn't it? He can't even remember it. He passed out as soon as he sat down to watch it. Everything black. He went to black on that thing. The other movie is Chocolat. You know, I saw that movie, and I really was getting irritated the first half hour of that film, and here's why. A woman comes to a town, and she opens up a store, and she sells chocolate, and she wears big red high heels, and she looks gorgeous like Julia Roberts, only better looking, and she has a wheel on the counter that you spin. And she says, tell me what you see. And people will say, ooh, I don't know, a giraffe. And ooh, this is the kind of chocolate. She's like some kind of alchemist, some chocolate alchemist, some with a little bit of Merlin the Magician thrown in. And it was just bugged me. It's like I wanted to firebomb her store. I wanted to ride by on a bike and roll a pipe bomb in the thing. It just... Now you say to me, well, Jesus, Henry, don't you take joy in anything? Yes, I do. I loved Waking Ned Divine. You want to know the kind of sappy guy I am? I loved Waking Ned Divine. I liked The Turning Point with Shirley MacLaine and Jane Fonda. Go ahead, laugh. It was all about ballet and two women coming together after many years apart. It was a great movie. I liked some other chick flick my wife took me to. I liked American President. So I get into chick flicks per se. But some, there you go. And so I was really disturbed by it. Now, Crouching Tiger, Hide the Salami. Who wants to see that thing win? Taylor does. Get out of here with the subtitle. Didn't we get enough? Didn't we get our decades worth with that Roberto Benigni? Huh? Did I? Okay, so it had all that cool crap with a guy's ripping a guy's heart out of his chest. Right? Am I wrong or right about that? But all that crap where I got to look down at the bottom of the screen and then look up and see what's going on and look down and up and look. I'm a dumb American. I can't deal with it anymore, you know? Life is Beautiful is all. I like Life is Beautiful. I thought it was pretty cool. It was very funny and very unpredictable. It was a neat movie, you know? When he was walking on the backs of those chairs, hey, that's exactly what that pull up the rear end Academy Awards needs. You putting me on or what? That cat's exactly what those people with the pole jammed up their asses so they can taste broom handle. That's what they needed. So when he got up and he did his dance, that was a beautiful thing. Oh, you know what? I gotta flip over to my phone screen thing. Let me go to a call here. Is it Adam? Hey, Adam, how you doing? Welcome to the Phil Hendry Show.
I'm doing fantastic. How are you, Phil?
Great, brother. Fine.
I just want to know, are people watching you when you're doing your radio show?
We get a lot of people asking to come in and watch. If I mentioned their names to you, you probably hadn't heard of any of them. No, I'm kidding. We've had a lot of them come in. Who's a person that has come in that Adam would know? Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray has come in to watch the show.
Okay, yeah, I know that.
John Carpenter, the great director, has watched the show. Yeah. Gary Oldman, the actor, has come in.
Yeah, but... obviously
Adam from Escondido, you'll never be allowed in. You know, people like that. No, I'm just kidding. No, do we charge admission? No, we don't. And generally, the company that I work for has got a policy. You can't let people in here. Dwight Yoakam and Bridget Fonda, Irving Farquhar and his dogs, Spackle. So a lot of things, and a lot of people have crawled through here and slithered away, leaving a snail trail. Adam, but did you want to come and watch the show?
I would love to, but I'm sure unless I'm a famous person, you wouldn't let me come watch you.
You know, that's really unfair, but you know what? You're probably right. No,
exactly.
Actually, why don't you hold on?
All right.
And we'll get your name and your address and everything, and we'll see if we can squeeze you in, man. Are you in school?
Yeah, I'm in high school.
We're on from 4 to 7. Now, you're in Escondido. How would you make your way up here? It would have to be in the summer sometime, wouldn't it?
Well, no, I have a car.
Yeah, I know, dude, but if you're in school, so in other words, you would leave school and drive all the way up to L.A.?
Yeah, no problem. I get out of school at 12.
You mean after you start shooting on campus, then you just put the shotgun in the trunk and come up here? Oh, okay. Well, no problem. Tell you what, hang on, man. We'll get your name and phone number, and I'll have Mike call you or get in touch with you. We'll get your email address, and we'll swap emails, all right?
All right.
Okay, pal, hold on. You know, I said that to the guy because I suddenly felt like a creep saying, well, no, you can't be here because you're not big time. Hey, Mike, line 5, Adam, let's be in touch. Hi, Kathleen. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
How are you?
Fine, ma'am.
Oh, my dear God, sir. You're so hilarious.
Well, thanks.
What a clever fellow. It took me about 2 or 3 times to catch on.
How many? 2 or 3 weeks or just 2 or 3 times?
Two or three nights.
Two or three nights? Every night we come out and we go, Phil's doing all the voices.
No, but I get you just after I get out of school. Uh-huh. After the first half hour of your first part of your show, so I never get that.
Oh, okay.
So the first night I heard it, oh, my God, what a scream. You're so clever.
Hey, well, we like doing the show. We hope you enjoy it.
Well, where did Bobby Dooley come from?
Bobby Dooley is part my mother and part this sort of suburban Los Angeles phone activist housewife, very prevalent in these parts. They're really dumb. They sort of react from what their husband says. They think they know their own minds, and they don't, and she's sort of a conglomerate of a lot of the worst aspects to suburban politics, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, the worst aspects of all that suburban politics that are every bit as frightening as anything that the Nazis thought of.
So is the best of Phil Hendry still for sale on your site?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's on my site, and you can call a number. You want me to give you the number? It's 877-616-7445, and you can get our CD.
Great.
And we also have a picture disc vinyl that you can get, too.
Oh, okay. Well, right. Thank you very much.
All right, Kathleen.
It's a pleasure.
Nice to talk to you.
You too, sir. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Hi, Walter. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil. I wanted to ask you whether you'd considered appearing on some of the panels of voiceover actors that show up at the big comic book conventions. There's one in San Diego coming up.
They always have
panels with all the famous people behind the voices.
A guy that used to work for me, Josh, Jonah Weiland, do you know that name?
Sure I do, I know
yeah,
it's from his site.
Jonah was my producer, and Jonah, I guess, is still a judge at the, they call it the con?
Yeah, the San Diego Comic-Con is the one I'm thinking of that I've gone to.
Jonah's been a judge on a couple of those panels. Why I've never been on one of those panels down there, I've never been invited, I don't know anything about that, and I would dig it, except I've never been on cartoons. I've been on two cartoons, King of the Hill and Futurama, but not on any regular thing. Who are the guys that they have at this thing?
Well, I saw June Foray and
she's brilliant.
Frank Welker.
Yeah.
And God, I can't remember all the names because, you know, the voices are familiar, but the talent names aren't. But it's such a click. And they're so much fun. They seem to have so much fun doing it. And I think you'd fit into that click if you appeared on the panel, and maybe you'd get some work because you know all these people. I know you don't like to deal with the fans, but you might want to deal with that click of
I don't mind dealing with fans. I would rather deal with fans than actors, to be honest with you. That shows you how much I hate actors because I don't want to deal with fans.
Well, I think voiceover actors are different than regular actors. It's just
well, they're
different.
Uglier. That's for starters. They're frightening to look at. June Foray is fantastic. Don Messick, he's the late Don Messick. You know, Mel Blanc, all those guys. Maybe Jonah Weiland, my old producer, now big shot in the comic book world, would actually invite me to one of
these. Comicbookresources.com.
Yeah, maybe he'd actually invite me to this thing, but I doubt it. Okay, Walter. Thanks, pal. All right.
Go to San Diego. Enjoy it.
Okay, I try to stay out of there as much as I can, but I'll take your advice.
Okay, Phil.
Thanks, pal. Bye. Yeah, the only reason to go to San Diego, I'm kidding, the comic book convention, which I've never been to. Have you been to that? Are you into that comic book geek thing? It's a marvelous thing to see them standing outside and waiting for the comic book store to open, and they're all eager, and they're rubbing their hands together, and their bicycles are all pushed against the wall, and they're all 35. Yeah, and they've got, like, staples in their forehead, and, all right, you get back here to the van, Newton, when you...
Okay.
That's good boy. Go get your comic book, get in the van. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to It's Okay to Talk to Phil. Give us a call. Let's check out what's happening in your world. The Phil Hendry Show. Show here, and an hour we devote to the show, you know, like once a week called You May Now Talk to Phil. Call us, talk about our show, talk about elements you've heard, opinions you've heard proffered, but a lot of stuff going on this week and in other weeks, and it's all sick and twisted, and we, on this show at least, try to take some of it and turn it into something funny. Are we successful? I think more times than a lot of shows are. 1-800-449-8686. That lady called and she asked me about this character we do on our show named Bobby Dooley. And I saw Bobby Dooley in the store the other day. I was in it's not a mistake, but my wife said, go get some meat, you know, for the barbecue. Go get some, because we were going to barbecue for the kids. And so I went into Gelson's, and Gelson's got great barbecue stuff. They got great steaks and all kinds of stuff. I said, well, I'll go in here. And I go in there, and there's a woman standing there with her arms folded across her chest, and the butcher's out from behind the counter, and he's got the little white hat on. All you know, those butchers, they look like they work at Chernobyl or something with the white thing and the white coat, and she has her arms across her chest. Well, I just want to know about the hormones. What kind of hormones are in what meats? My daughter cannot have it, and and she's standing with the arms folded across the chest and the nodding up and down, monopolizing this guy's time to no end. And all I wanted to do was ask this guy, well, hey, can tell me where the turkey patties are? That's what I was looking for. Where are the turkey patties? And I couldn't do it. And she said, well, and she's like, you know, some people with their body language sort of protect their space when they're talking to someone. Like they've got the elbow and the shoulder out so you know they don't want you. And she was actually maneuvering me out of the way so I couldn't say it. So I had to, like, look over her shoulder, go, yo, turkey patties. I just want to know whether, yes, sir, right down. Okay, and she looked at me like I was the worst scum. Because I interrupted her old rap session about hormones and how it's affecting her daughter. You know, one of these days they're going to slaughter a cow, and it's going to have hormones and everything in it, and you may not have anything to eat or any choice other than to eat a steak off of that hormone-infested cow. What are you going to do then? You're going to go to soy patties? What are these people going to do if, God forbid, there ever is a World War III, 96% of the human race is wiped out from radiation, and we're all living in radioactive rubble? What are they going to do then? How are they going to adapt? The more we get comfortable with these new innovations and these new ways of eating food, for instance, the further we get away from our roots as a primitive being, the more at risk we're going to be if we ever have to survive on that level, right? Or did I make it? Did that even make any sense? Never mind. 1-800-449-8686. Here is, I don't know, Irene? Yeah, Irene, hi.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Great. You make the commute home so much more worthwhile.
Hey, thanks.
I just called to say that I could listen to Rudy day and night.
Who?
My favorite character.
Who?
Rudy.
Oh, the guy with the la-la-la?
I love the la-la-la.
Okay, well, like he's turning you on.
It does, man.
Because every other woman that ever calls when he's on can't stand his guts.
Well, they don't know what they're missing, do they?
Well, they know exactly what you know what he's about. They don't.
I know.
Okay, Irene, thanks. You're a little too perky for me. Here is Jerry on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Jerry.
Hey, I just wondered, are you ever going to run out of people to call? I mean, isn't everybody going to catch on sooner or later?
Who's call? The people that call this show?
Yeah.
Never.
Jesus Christ. I mean, I caught it the first day.
Well, good. You're rare.
You were talking about somebody eating cats. The lady was so poor, and her children were eating cats. And, oh, my God, the cat's missing. I mean, Jesus Christ.
You like that word a little too much, okay? To answer your question, no, we're not afraid we're going to run out of idiots, Jerry, so long as you're in my life. Here is Sal on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello, Phil.
How you doing, pal?
Oh, man, you are just so talented. I love you.
Thank you.
Anyway, my question for you is, who is your favorite character to do? And I'll tell you who I think it is. I think that it's Ted Bell.
He's pretty cool. I like him. He's a real piece of crap.
Look it up, Ted Bell. I love that.
He's a real piece of work. I get off on doing voices that I don't have to think too hard to do, and I can get into the character. Doing a guy like Ted Bell, I got to think a little bit. I like doing Bobby Dooley, and
Bobby
Dooley. Yeah, the guys we did today were, who'd we do?
Jay Santos.
Jay Santos is a good one. Dean Wheeler. Yeah, all those guys are good.
Dean Wheeler, I love Dean Wheeler. I love them all, but I tell you, Lloyd Bonafide and Ted Bell, I just...
Yeah, I like doing Lloyd because he is, he's got that whole Korean War vet thing going on, and we got to work something more into his character. Melissa likes the idea that Lloyd winds up blacking out and then beating up people, and then when he comes to, he just has their chest hair in his hand.
Don't touch Lloyd.
No, man, he's good. He's good. All right, Sal.
All right, Phil, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for calling. Okay, and Jack, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, you were hilarious. And what's the character you did one time, or you probably done it a bunch of times, but he takes a leak on a kid's drawings out in the street because he's trying to sell his house?
Yeah, who was that? Who was the guy that took a leak on the kid's drawing outside because he was trying to sell his house?
You got to do him again.
I don't remember that guy, but I remember the hour. I remember it. Might have been Roland Schwinn, somebody like that.
That came from the first episode.
Yeah, that came from my daughter had multicolored chalk, and she was out on the street drawing pictures on the street. And
do you ever do stand-up anywhere? I mean,
I don't do stand-up. I used to, and I don't now. I used to MC shows and stuff like that, but no, I don't.
Well, it's amazing. It keeps me entertained all the time.
Thanks a lot.
All right, take care.
Good man. Thanks, Jack. Bye. You're a good man because you're complimenting the hell out of me. And that makes you a good man. So Catherine was drawing stuff out on the street with this multicolored chalk, and she was drawing beautiful pictures, doing what a kid does, drawing. And the people on the street got upset, and they complained, and they didn't like it, and they thought it looked like crap, and after all, they're old. And one thing, don't make any mistake, one thing old people don't like, it's kids. I don't care if you're the greatest grandmother in the world and you think you're this and that. I don't care if in the golden years you're really pretty. One thing that old people can't stand, can't live with, just hate, it's children. They hate being around them, and that's just the facts. I have almost 2 years of experience. We lived in an area where there were a lot of retired folks. But it was a beautiful area, and we wanted to move the kids there and give them the opportunity of living there. But it turned out that there were a lot of retired folks. And never mind the fact that these people weren't even conscious on Halloween. You know, you'd go to the door with two kids dressed in a Halloween costume, and these two people, they're just losing their bladder into their Depends when they see some kid with a mask on. Forget about that. I'm talking about the fact that they just didn't like living around them, didn't like the noise, nothing. So because of that, we came up with that guy who would go out and urinate all over a child. In other words, I think, did we make our point? I don't know. Phil Hendry Show at 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show here at 1-800-449-8686. This is our You Can Talk to Phil Hour. Yeah, I was cruising into work today. I was in Hollywood today and really had the great pleasure to hang around a TV studio lot a little bit over at Sunset Boulevard. And it's just great walking down the... You've seen it on TV. You've seen it in films. You know, you walk between the large buildings and no one recognizes you and they tell you to get out of their way. So much fun. Anyway, cruising through Hollywood, the Capitol Records building has a big banner with the Beatles number one. They're really juicing it. And I go back to what I said earlier. The Beatles are number one in America. My God, how bored we are. How bad is the music that the Beatles are number one again? Pretty bad, Mike. So you can take that Radiohead and you can park it in your radio. Radiohead is great. I mean, I like it. I drop acid to it all the time, but give me a break. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. And I don't know where to go because nobody's telling me, so I'm flying blind. Ginny in San Diego. Hi, Ginny.
Yes, hi, Phil.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. I love it when you do what I call... kitchen table talk.
Oh, yeah?
When you're just kind of talking about nothing.
Yeah, that's what we do. We talk about nothing.
But it's wonderful. I don't have anybody like you on my kitchen table. You're really fun.
I'm here.
I wanted to say...
Put the radio on the kitchen table. Just talk to me. Put a plate of something in front of it, too.
Okay. I wanted to ask you, whatever happened, what became of that wonderful Bud Dickman?
Oh, yeah. Bud Dickman is still around. We haven't used him much, and we should. Mm-hmm. He's like an intern. We had a whole backstory on Bud. He fell off his motorcycle and went right through a tree up near Ojai, and he's a Harley freak. I've drifted away from Bud because I always thought he was a little bit too much of a cartoon.
Really? I thought he was one of the most he seemed real to me.
Did he? All right. Well, I appreciate that.
I want him back.
I'm going to bring him back because I'm not really encouraged to bring Bud back. God knows, uh-huh. Melissa and Mike never asked me to bring Bud back. And she's in there getting mad. But we will. And, we'll. He and the plate in his head we're bringing back.
How did he come to be? Just out of the blue air or out of the thin air?
Well, there was a character that I used to do in Ventura named Dave Del Wagon, and I changed his name to Bud Dickman because of the Larry Dickman reference in a Clint Eastwood movie called Magnum Force.
Mm.
And so in any event, I created this character as kind of a slow intern, a guy who... can't speak because he's got a speech impediment, but someday wants to do news just like Paul Moyer.
Mm-hmm.
And his head's a little lopsided because he had this accident. So, in other words, the guy's totally unpresentable for television, completely weird to look at, but really believes that someday he can be Ted Koppel.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Bud. All right? You okay?
Yeah, Ginny, also, hello. He always seems to triumph. So.
He does always seems to try.
He seems
seem
to
triumph.
Really get his own, he has an edge.
He does have an edge, and he's... He's okay. He has a beer every now and again, and he gets on his motorcycle when he shouldn't, but he's all right.
Okay, thanks, Phil.
Okay, Ginny, thanks for calling. Bye. All right. I think she had the sense that she was suddenly irritating me. You were fine, Ginny. No problem. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Karen on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil. I want to let you know you are as brilliant as you think you are.
Oh, great. Thanks.
It's not necessarily the voices. I mean, the voices are cool, but... For me, it is how you develop the personality behind each and every person.
You know, can I just say something right now? At least this hour of butt licking we're doing on my show only comes once a week, not every day like some shows.
Well, you've been begging for it for a while.
Yeah, I know. You know, the whole idea about that is, and that's what people don't get. A lot of people in radio don't get it. A lot of so-called professionals go, you know, a lot of the voices you do sound the same. Well, it isn't about that, man. It's about doing a character. It's
hey,
about...
do one thing for me.
Sure.
Margaret at the Kentucky Derby, sing it for me.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm not going to do it. I'm not breaking into character now. Are you kidding me? I got people I got to meet at 7 o'clock. I've got
it
a home
was
that I...
so great.
This is my husband, the one who was making an ass out of himself a half hour ago? Margaret at the Kentucky Derby. What did she sing? Oh, and the D-A-R-K-I-E-S. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the sun shines bright on my old Kentucky home where the D-A-R-K-I-E-S play.
Yeah, right. You were great.
All right, Karen.
How you kept interrupting Margaret.
Yes.
You're great.
That's really in that song. My old Kentucky home has a reference to darkies.
Yeah.
And the reason why I know that is Melissa's from Kentucky, and she went online and she found My Old Kentucky Home, and there's a whole thing about the darkies playing. And I guess they still sing that just before the Kentucky Derby.
Wow. Well, so, do you do Steve, too?
Steve Bozell. Yeah, I do him.
Steve is Bobby's husband.
Yeah, I do that, too. Yeah. That's all me, kid.
You're great. Well, my husband and I, Rob, talk about you all the way home.
Beautiful. Thanks for listening to our show.
Okay.
All right, kid. Thanks. Bye. Can you believe that? The D-A-R-K-I. Well, I better not say, okay. Somebody I'm related to likes to say the following phrase or something like this. Well, you can't say that. Well, why not? Because the B-L-A-C-K-S people are not going, you know. Because B-L-A-Q-U-E people won't like it. Ha ha. Here is Mike on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil.
Hi, Mike.
I think my favorite part of the show is whenever you crack yourself up, when you're, like, in character and you have to say something that's so...
That's my favorite because I'm saying something really... Yeah, it's fun. What happened tonight? There was one thing that cracked me up tonight. Craig's got it. What is it?
Jay Santos.
Yeah, Taco Camp. I couldn't... That finally got to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, Taco Camp.
I love those moments. And I think the first time I heard your show, I don't remember who the guest was, but... He was advising men not to accept oral sex from their wives and girlfriends because it was really a form of rape. And I've been hooked ever since that one.
Yeah. Yeah, huh? That's on the CD. That's on our CD.
Oh, it's got to be. It's got to be track one on the
CD.
Yeah.
Do we have that around anywhere? We ought to play that. That cracked me up because basically what was happening is the guy says it's a form of rape. He tape recorded himself getting oral sex from a hooker on Hollywood Boulevard.
And the guys who were calling him were like, are you insane?
Yeah, and it's one dude called up and he goes, well, listen to this tape of me getting oral sex. I'm screaming. And he's screaming. And I goes, well, you must have been getting it from Dracula. He goes, dude, you are sounding in pain. Is it there? I'm going to play this because I'm glad you brought this up, Mike. If this is the cut that you're talking about, and we'll just sit back. What cut is it? Cut 13? Cut fit? No, it isn't. Can you read, man? All right, listen, Mike, hold on for just a second.
Sure.
This is wrong? I think it's cut 15. Are you telling me, is everybody getting this CD with the wrong stuff on it?
I think we went over. I think it's cut 15.
Oh, my God. What a year for this CD. Nothing's right on the bloody thing. It's all wrong. Here we go. I don't know if this is it or not, but this should... No, that's not it. Okay, don't give me the CD if you're not sure it's on it. That doesn't help me. Well, which cut is it? No, the one about the guy, Men Hate Oral Sex, cut 14. This is the guy with Dracula. This is what I'm talking about. Here it is. Men, cut 15. No, that's the chick.
I'd just like to make a comment here. This cowboy here sticks his finger up my son's anal cavity. He's going to find more than that up his.
Okay. Well, what happened to the guy saying it sounds like you're getting it from Dracula? We didn't put it on the CD? That's funnier than this bull crap. This was not a funny call.
I just cannot believe. Is this guy a joke?
Ma'am, I have worked with some 10,000 different men across this country over the last 4 years.
I want to say this, woman who really never really enjoyed doing it very much.
Well, there
my husband begs me.
Probably dragging your teeth along that thing.
He begs me to do it.
He begs you to abuse him. Begs you to abuse him, even though you're lousy at it. I think that is a sad story.
You know what?
In your home.
You know what? He said he never enjoyed it so much until I've done it.
Sure. He never enjoyed. You know, the Christians love to have themselves thrown to the lions. They never enjoyed it so much. Women like being beat up by men. They never enjoyed it so much.
You know
and
what?
There
you know
are.
What?
And there you
from
are.
An abusive relationship, so I totally disagree with you.
Wait a second.
You are
I
off your rocker.
It.
I mean.
Why would you stay in an
what
abusive
you
relationship?
For? You mail us a degree? I mean,
why would you stay in an abusive relationship?
I'm not in an abusive relationship.
Why did you stay in it?
A long time ago.
Why did you stay in it?
I didn't. The first time anything happened, I left.
Oh,
so you're
boy,
totally
boy.
Off your rocker.
No, ma'am. You
know
what
it depends what kind of woman
men?
And man
you
you're talking
girl,
about.
You know the girlfriends you've had who've stayed with abusive men and you couldn't get them to move out?
Never. Not one.
You are the abuser, dragging your teeth along your husband's penis. Why, I would all the...
Okay, hold on.
Whoa.
You're going places we can't go on the show, Dr. Green. You understand?
I don't want to go there either.
I understand that, but she doesn't
I'm a woman who's never called a talk radio show. I'm listening to you on the... In my car, absolutely, my mouth is to the floor. I cannot believe that you actually have some kind of degree.
I am telling you that my book and the research I've done, men hate oral sex.
Well, no. You know, I think, here I am. I am a very intelligent woman. I have a master's.
So you say.
No. Listen to this. Maybe you're talking about a very small percentage. I'm certainly sure there are men out there that do not like it.
No, all men.
But for you to speak, no, and as a person who's doing scientific research, how can you say everybody? You are.
I'll prove it. I'll prove it to you. Mr. Henry. Wait. Mr. Henry?
Yeah?
Don't you hate oral sex from a woman?
No, you know what? I happen to think that he doesn't because he's totally not answering you.
Mr. Henry, what? Don't you hate it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, he's telling me that I'm denying.
I said to tell her.
Yes, I hate it, man. I don't know what to say.
You know what?
Listen to her
laugh.
Isn't that
sir,
listen to the witch cackle?
As a scientific researcher,
you're
your problem
like
is that even when somebody's telling you what it is that they prefer, you're telling them that they don't. You're
you
abusing
know what denial
him by
is,
telling
ma'am.
Him
you, know what
you don't know what
is.
You're talking about.
Ma'am, you know what denial is. You've seen it, I'm sure, in your life.
You're
because
in
you're
denial.
So
Who's
I'm
in
not
denial?
In denial, okay?
You are in denial. Open your eyes.
You
not everybody in the world feels the way you do.
Last Tuesday night. Listen to this. That was a man receiving oral sex from a hooker off of Sunset Boulevard. I doubt if you can measure up to that, okay? And listen to what was happening to him.
You know what? It's called love and compassion and intimacy.
Let me ask. I think I have
you
a question
don't
to
seem
ask.
To know anything about.
Dr. Green, I have a question. Are you sure you're not talking about the oral sex that you've gotten?
What's that crack supposed to mean?
I mean, what about you? Have you ever enjoyed it?
I told you, I've had some of the worst experiences. That
yeah, that's what I'm
yeah,
talking
but
about.
You, you're talking about yourself.
Yourself, not me,
yeah.
Not this lady's husband, not anybody. You're talking about you.
Well, I'll tell you, I can't get a good hummer to save my life. I spend.
Well, you know what? That I feel sorry for the women that you date and the
you feel
women
sorry
that
for
you
them.
Marry.
Why don't you feel sorry for me?
Huh?
I'm the one that can't get any good oral sex.
Well, you know what? I feel sorry for you then.
Thank you.
No,
Jesus.
I really do. For all the men out there that don't enjoy it, I think they should let the woman know, speak your mind,
and
not
find
have it done. I mean,
and then find another woman.
Find another woman or don't have it.
Can you?
You're acting like we are like
I just want to ask
whipping
you
and
well,
torturing
I...
you. It's ridiculous.
That scream that we heard.
Yeah?
Who was that?
Mr. Henry, I don't think...
Who was that on the tape screaming?
It was me.
You know, maybe you just have a problem. Maybe that's the thing, is that you want everyone to join your bandwagon. And your bandwagon, you know, your little red wagon that you're pulling along, it's empty, dear. It is totally empty. And you just, well, you're trying to get someone to agree with you, but listen to all these people. They're all laughing at
I
you.
I hate both of you.
That it? Oh God, that's it. Thanks, Mike. Shut up. Get out of here. That was it. That Mike reminded us of that bit. Men hate oral sex. But there was one where the guy is talking about. Well, you must have been getting it from Dracula because remember that. All right. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. You can talk to Phil Hour on the Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show, taking calls this hour from people once a week, finding out what they want to talk about in terms of our show, in terms of its content, in terms of some of the opinions that we've proffered, crap that's going on, whatever. Okay, Howard, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi.
Oh, yes. Yes, I started listening to you about 2 months ago, and the first time I heard you, I thought you were another Jerry Springer, and I thought, what a bunch of crap, and I kept turning you off, but I would hear enough of you about every day to I started realizing what was going on.
Well, what was going on?
Well, that you were doing, that you had someone doing all the voices.
Uh-huh.
But it was only tonight when one of your callers called in that I realized that it was you doing the voices.
Right.
I thought you had a cohort the whole time.
No.
I never imagined it was you.
It's me, Howard. It's all me. And we don't do the Jerry Springer Show. We make fun of the Jerry Springer Show.
That's why I have a great time. Whenever I feel down or things are going wrong, I turn your show on, and I laugh a lot.
Well, and so you don't have to ride the bicycle to deliver the flowers. You just stay home. Good. Okay,
thank
Howard.
Thank you.
Thank you, pal.
Okay.
Goodbye. Yeah, no, that's, no, I, yeah, no, yeah, yeah, no, I, yeah, no, you, no, yes, no. Okay. Hi, David, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
How you doing, Phil? I really appreciate you. You're a genius.
Have I
measured your IQ?
Yeah, it was 120.
That's good. I was 100.
Listen, how did you get into the
whole Bible thing? Where'd your knowledge come from, the characters, the pastors, and those that know so much about the Bible?
Well, I mean, anybody that's been to Catholic school, anybody that's gone through a Christian education has got some bullcrap grasp of the Bible. Anybody who BS'd a term paper, you know what I mean by that?
Yeah. Did you do this as a kid? Did you do, like, prank phone calls or things like that?
No, I didn't do prank phone calls, no.
I don't do
prank phone calls now.
Well, I mean, it's reversed, but how do you start researching the characters? Do you research them? Do you practice them?
No, living my life, I draw from the world that I see, and those are the characters that we incorporate into the show.
Okay, one last question.
Sure.
How do you go from character back to yourself so fast? Is it two mics? Is it a switch?
One mic and a telephone. No switch, no bull crap. And I've been dealing with that for the last, I don't know how many years. Well, there must be a voice processor. There must be this. There must be that. No, it's me. It's a telephone and a microphone.
That's incredible.
Okay, dude.
How do you do it so quickly without screwing up?
Because I'm freaking talented, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You are.
All right, buddy.
I appreciate you.
Thank you, man.
Bye.
Bye. I don't know how I do it, but... And some guy, I told you the whole... You must be crazy, right? No, I'm not crazy. I know how to do it. I used to love listening to Lenny Bruce on record, who used to do characters on stage. He'd go in and out of character and go in and out of all these different skits on stage in a nightclub. So, what is that I'm hearing? Oh, it's the Doors. You'd rather listen to them. Anyway, Phil Hendry Show is what it's all called.